The scripture reading today will be Acts 3, 1 through 10, and the story is called Peter Heals a Lame Beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Amen.
So, as many of you know, that we've started a sermon series under the title, How to Handle Change. And the first word we talked about, it anticipates change, right? Because whether we like it or not, changes are coming. How many of you know that? And once in a while, we even forget that we are growing old. And when we forget that, and when we actually enter into, let's say, 30s, for some people, it's such a big shock. And so I have a small video for us, and I think Lever is going to be very ready to show us that video. But anyway, here in this video, you will see, you know, how many of you watch Friends in the television, right? And Joey, he's having a hard time every time when he's reaching to 30. Not now, he didn't reach to many times, but every time when somebody else is reaching to 30, he's having a hard time because he didn't anticipate. So let's listen to this.
Not that big a deal.
Oh, really? Is that how you felt when you turned 30?
Why, God, why? We had a deal. Let the others grow old, not me.
Oh, come on, you guys. Is it just me? Am I overreacting to this?
No, Rach, it's not just you. My 30th birthday certainly wasn't that much fun.
And now Chandler. We're all getting so old. Why are you doing this to us?
Well, here we are, just a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Wow, do you realize in 10 years we're going to be 40?
Why, God? Why are you doing this to us?
So that's what happens when we don't anticipate, right? So first word for how to handle changes, anticipate change. The changes will come whether we like it or not. The second one, how we respond to the change, whether we accept it or not, will determine the quality of life we're going to live. Okay, so accept change. The third one, we talked about adjust change. All changes require man adjustments. Negative changes needs to be resisted. For example, sickness in our family. You know, when that change comes, we don't have to just fold our hands and accept it, but we realize that these are the change actually we might make a difference with God's help and with the medical help. And today we are going to talk about enjoy change. How to handle change and enjoy change. So the first one I want to share with you is that when the changes will come, it will give a new meaning and purpose, or will help us to focus on the purpose we already have it. It will give us new meaning and new purpose in our life. Now, we read today the story of Peter and John going for prayer. Peter and John, they are on their way for prayer. Now, remember that during the time in Jesus' ministry, every time when time of prayer came, usually it was Jesus who would take initiative. It was Jesus who would pray. And often we will see that, or we saw that Peter, James, and John and other disciples, they were sleeping. They were not praying. Most of the time, it is Jesus who has gone out into the temple for prayer, or Jesus has gone out in a secluded place for prayer. Jesus has gone out into the Garden of Gethsemane for prayer. And during those times, Peter, James, and John, and other disciples, they were sleeping. In other words, prayer was not the priority in their life at that time. In fact, after Jesus came back to life, and when Jesus didn't have a contact with his disciples for a few more days, eventually Peter, James, and John, and other disciples went back to fishing. They says, you know what? We thought Jesus is going to establish his kingdom here on the earth, but seems like things are not working the way we want it to work. And so let us go and do the things what we want to do. But of course, at that time, Jesus invites his disciples back, and he tells them that he is going to send Holy Spirit to them, and that Holy Spirit is going to be with them all the time. They can reach out to Holy Spirit at any time. They can have conversation with Holy Spirit at any time. They don't have to be only at the temple. They don't have to be only at one particular place to listen to the voice of God. Amen? Amen. And so that was a change. And as they lived in that change, and as they anticipate that change, as they accept that change, as they adjust into the new change, now they are entering into the season of enjoying that change. And so today we see that Peter, once upon a time, who really didn't care about prayer, now he and John, they are going to the temple for prayer. And so, dear people of God, why we should really celebrate and enjoy the change? Because often it gives us new meaning and new purpose in our lives. Often it gives us new meaning and new purpose in our lives. So many of you have gone through some really, really horrific changes in your life. And those changes were painful. But as you lead in those changes, as you wait upon God, and now you have found a new way to look your life. In Redding, California, I heard this from one of the members and who was very active, that he lost his child at a young age. And he was so sad and he was so broken for so long. And as he was thinking and having conversation with other people, he realized that there are so many children out there, those who are going through a very, very hard and difficult time. And he started to think about Darfur, where there was genocide taking place at that time. And he realized that I want to do something. I could not save my own child, but I want to make a difference in somebody else's life. And so he started to invest his time and his energy and his money into Darfur in Africa. And in the last 10 years, he raised $300,000 for that project. Every year, he will have some concert happening. Every year, he will invite somebody to speak about it. Every year, he will have a filmmaker who have made a film from Africa, and he will have that person come and speak to us at the church. Yes, he had a tremendous, painful experience in his life. And it was difficult to accept. It was difficult to adjust into that change. But as he waited upon God and as he thought more about it, as he contemplated more on that, eventually God gave him new purpose and new meaning in his life. And he could save millions of people in Darfur. Dear people of God, we all go through changes. And I don't know what changes you're going through in your life. But if you're going through a change, ask God that, God, this is difficult. This is painful. I don't like it. I don't want it. But it is happening in my life. Please show me the way that what good can come out of this mess, this difficulty. And I challenge you. And I know the fact that God will give you new purpose and new meaning in your life. The second one, it will give you assessment of yourself, your strength, and your weaknesses. You will realize that you are so strong in the area you thought that you're so weak. I remember for the first time when I came to America, I landed in LAX in LA area. And if you've been there is a freeway called 405. How many of you been there and you've seen that freeway? It is almost like six lane on one side. So it's like 12 lane big freeway. And so here I come for the first time in my life to America, and the person who came to pick me up, you know, he goes on that freeway and he is driving crazy. And I was looking at him. I was seeing him constantly making decisions, like, you know, making left and right, and needed to brake, and there are people behind him, and there are people before him, and all that. And I realized there is no way I can ever drive in America. It is beyond me. Now remember, I came from India. It's even more challenging than here. But like, well, the speed and all that noise and everything, like, wow, can I ever drive in America? It was a big change for me. And guess what, dear people of God? I learned driving, and I actually drove on also 405. Sometimes I was close to other cars, but I did that. See, it gave me a new perspective on me. It told me that, Rajiv, yes, you can handle this. Yes, Rajiv, you have within you that you can handle this change. It told me about my strength, and of course some other weaknesses too. It told me that what are the things I can take on my own and what are the things I need to avoid. And dear people of God, that how often we need assessment of ourselves. Amen? And so we can rejoice in the fact that as we enter into the changes, as God brings changes in our lives, or as just changes happens into our lives, it gives us assessment. It tells us what our strength and what our weakness is. But also there is a possibility that I might have totally rejected this change. I said, you know what, I don't like this change. I'm not going to drive in America. And I've seen people doing that. You know, one of the challenges when immigrants come to America, the first thing they have to struggle with is learning to drive. I know there was this particular person from India. He came to America 40 years ago, and he did not learn driving. He has two PhDs, two, three master's degrees. Whatever Fuller Seminary wanted to give, he had all the degrees. Because he always stayed close by Fuller Theological Seminary because he did not know how to drive. He had so many other opportunities to minister and to go around, but most of these opportunities require him to drive. And he did not learn driving. And I have to say that he had wasted so much potential God has given to him because he was not ready to learn driving. And he has a daughter my age. She's in America for almost 40 years too. And she didn't learn driving. And his wife didn't learn driving. And so when I go there, I visit them, and I can see they live in such a poor state only because they were not ready to accept this change and not ready to take this step of faith. And I know it is not easy for so many people, but that made it so difficult for them to really advance into the life God had intended for them. And so, dear people of God, there is also a possibility that we might resist change so much and we might lose all the wonderful blessings God has for us. And so the reason we need to be rejoicing and enjoy is because it gives us assessment of ourselves and tells us about our strength and weaknesses. The third one, it will give you new appreciation of God's faithfulness in your life. That when you handle change and when you're on the other side, you will realize that God has been so faithful to you. Amen? One of my favorite songs in our hymn book is, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon in their courses above, In all those times, summer and winter and springtime and rain and sun and all that, one force has been consistent, dear people of God, and that the force is God. And as you go with God, as you handle your changes with God, you will see that God has been so faithful to you in the past, and you can go with this God in future. Amen? That you don't have to stuck where you are. You can go with this God in future because God will be faithful to you. And I want to challenge you, dear people of God, that as you enter into the changes, let it happen that you know that God is with you. One of the ways to do it, like when you're up on the top of the mountain and when you'll see, look, you know, if you have driven back and you'll see like how many valleys and how many small curves you had to take, and like you realize that, wow, those were difficult times. But then that was God with me. And so you can rejoice in the fact that God has been with you. When I look at my own life, one thing I can surely say that without God, I would not be standing here. I told so many times to the church members, but once again, those who are new, I want to remind them that there was a one class in my, you know, educational career that I failed 5 times. I was stuck in that one class for 5 times. And all my friends, they were doing great, and you know, they started to make money by the time I was still in my 10th grade. But at the age of 18, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And one thing I prayed, I remember at that time, this, God, this life I'm giving to you, it has absolutely no meaning. According to Indian standard, I have absolutely no future. My parents were constantly worried that, like, what's going to happen with this boy? And, like, they were thinking that, are we stuck with him forever or what? But dear people of God, it was God. When I gave my life to God and I gave everything, including my failures and including my indiscipline and my stupidity and all that, God took that. And here I stand in front of you. And when I look back my life, I can say, yes, those were difficult changes, but God was with me in all those changes. And so as we rejoice in changing, knowing the fact that God will be with you. And so this morning, what can we take away from here? Number one, be thankful for all changes, good, bad, and ugly. Amen? Be thankful for all changes God is bringing in your life. There's a scripture in the Bible which says, in everything, give thanks. And so be thankful for all the changes. Some of the changes you're having a hard time to be thankful now. But again, you will look back and you will realize, like, you know, that was a difficult time in my life, but I thank God that it came in my life so that there are other aspects I could develop in my life. The second one, help someone to see the blessing of change. A lot of people are going through change, and they are having a hard time to accept those changes. They are having a hard time to anticipate those changes. They are having a hard time to adjust into those changes. Help them, talk with them, spend time with them. Third one, continue to anticipate, accept, adjust, and enjoy the changes. Because as I told you, they keep coming. They never stop, right? How many of you know that? And so as you adjust into one change, as you started to enjoy one change, wait for another change is going to come. That's life. Thank you. And know the fact that God and your church family will remain with you as you go through changes. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you for this wonderful time you've given to us to come together. We thank you for the changes you brought into our lives. Some of them are really, really difficult. Some of them are easy. Some of them are positive changes. Some of them are negative changes. Some of the changes we wanted to happen in our lives, and some of them we really hated it happen in our life. But Lord, in everything we give you thanks and we give you glory and we bless your name. Lord, I especially bless and pray for the people here sitting. They are going through difficult changes in their life. They don't want it to go through that. I pray that, Lord, you would be with them in this journey, that they would know the fact that you are holding their hand and you're walking with them. They would know the fact that you would talk with them in the time of need. That Holy Spirit, you're available to them as they would reach out to you for consultation and conversation with you. As a church, Lord, help us that we would stand with one another, support one another in the changes we're going through. As a church, we're going through change, Lord, and help us to anticipate, accept, adjust, and enjoy the change, because we know that eventually your name is going to be glorified. Eventually we know that everything is going to work out great for those who love you, Lord. And we are your people, we are your children, and we belong to you. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.